You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning. We appreciate that. Selection Sunday morning around these parts, NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. The mobile app is yours free at the Google Play Store. You can also log on and be part of, wow, so many different ways to get our programming. We're on satellite radio, many, many radio stations across the country, but also on demand. If you go to NBCSportsRadio.com, you can select any of the shows that you like here at NBC Sports Radio and listen to it when it's convenient for you. On the program this morning, the Professor Rick Horrell will join us coming up in just a few moments. We talk the business, the deal-making of sports, some really interesting things in the sports, the Horrell Sports Brief that I want to share with you this morning. Also, some NFL news and not so much about game news, and we don't really have that in the show anyway. Really, this program is more about, you know, the business of sports and people and stories that are making news in the sports world that are kind of outside of the box score. So we have a lot of that stuff for you, but we're also going to have Russell Baxter on the program. We have him on frequently during the NFL season to talk about, you know, the week-to-week business, but in this case, going to be talking to him once again, as we did a couple of weeks ago, about quarterbacks, the quarterback movement around the NFL. We'll share some of that with you. Also, as I mentioned at the top, it's Selection Sunday in the college basketball world. That means at, hold on, I've got it here, 5:30 p.m., 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. over on CBS, you're going to have the NCAA Basketball Championship Selection Program. So Selection Sunday today means that you start filling out those brackets that you've already printed, right? You start filling those out tonight after you see how it's all ready to go, right? You got your blanks all ready to go. You've had your mock drafts. Now you're going to find out exactly where everything goes and be able to hit your printer and start scribbling, start drawing. So that's on your way. The show is brought to you by Grainger. We're serving you with the products that you need to help keep your facility running. Call, click, or stop by today. Grainger for the ones who get it done. So our guests are on the way. We'll also, I think, check with Pete Fox a little bit and talk some a little bit of Major League Baseball, just a tiny bit, because the National League MVP has had something to say about his game that you may find interesting. Some NFL news that is a little bit disappointing in a couple of areas. Before we get to the quarterback talk of guys that are in the league and moving around, how about a potential for the NFL? That's former Mississippi State quarterback and a big NFL draft prospect, Dak Prescott. Arrested on Saturday morning and charged with driving under the influence. Apparently, the Starkville Police Department confirmed that he was arrested when he was pulled over in his white 2016 Cadillac Escalade. Disappointing news for somebody like that, especially when you think about how much money that's going to cost you, because you're talking about a quarterback here. And this is the decision-making process. What decision did you make on how much to drink? What decision did you make on how you were going to get home? And what decision did you make about driving? You know, I understand that you're a prospect and that you're not loaded right now, but I guarantee that there were other options. I guarantee that you had a cell phone. And it's not always convenient to call somebody, but, you know, it's almost like the drunk driving thing. It's like when people are caught for this anymore, my reaction usually is, really? Still? Still, you haven't learned this lesson about drinking and driving? Now, the flip side of that is Martavis Bryant. Now, he is now facing a one-year suspension. This is a guy that's already in the league. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers and apparently has decided that marijuana is more important to him than NFL football and the gigantic paychecks that come with that. Because basically what he's looking at now is a one-year suspension. I'm not going to bore you with all the rhetoric from the league about how this many games and that and how they come to it. But, you know, it was supposed to be a 10-game suspension. The fact that it's a full season means that he's failed more tests, basically. I mean, the details have come out, but the bottom line here is that you're smoking pot. And it's another decision, it's another choice that you've made, that getting high and smoking weed with your friends is more important than your job that pays the bills. Now, quickly, some people are going to want to say, well, wait a minute, maybe he's using marijuana medicinally. A lot of people do this. Many, you know, athletes would love to do this. You hear them say all the time they'd much rather take a natural thing like marijuana than take the chemicals, the pills that, you know, you want to get from doctors. Well, until you work that out in the CBA and until the commissioners and the police departments around the country are all okay with it, you have to deal with the rules the way they are. Once again, very disappointing for a talented player to not be able to see really the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is you can smoke pot the rest of your life. You can smoke pot when you're an old man. But you only get to play in the NFL for a short period of time. That's when you're a young man and you're an elite athlete. Very, very disappointing to see something like that. And especially if you're a Steelers fan, you know, this is a guy, a weapon that you would like to have on your team. Same thing goes for Dak Prescott, too. This is going to cost him a lot of money. A lot of money because people are now questioning his decision-making. And when you're talking about the decision-making and a quarterback, it's squared because now your decision-making process is much more important than a lot of the other people that play the different positions up and down the line for you in that game. Very disappointing. All right, it's Selection Sunday, means March Madness. March Madness means St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day means what? Who's the most hated Boston Celtic player of all time? I saw this on, and unfortunately, I didn't write a note to say which site it came from. I believe it was either CBS or ESPN that had this. And again, I don't find this all terribly offensive. If I were a Boston Celtics fan, I would be amused at this, that the network thinks enough of our great franchise that we have to have a hate list. But the names that are on here are a little bit surprising to me, and I think there's a gigantic omission. But again, this is off of one of the other sports sites talking about on this St. Patrick's Day week, the most hated Boston Celtic players. And just to run them down for you, what they put in there was Big Baby Davis, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Tony Allen, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, and Danny Ainge. I think you could take Tony Allen off of there and put the one that I think is missing, Kevin McHale, in there, and he might have got a much higher number. Tony Allen only got 1%, and your winner in this was Kevin Garnett. I'm kind of surprised in that. Kevin Garnett is the most hated Boston Celtic player of all time? Now, flag on the play. I think that you need to either run that out there and get some more votes or whatever. I don't think Kevin Garnett was there long enough to be a hated Celtic. I think you got to go with, well, look, a lot of people are going to say Larry Bird. And, you know, it's harder to hate on players after they've retired. You know, after they've retired and they can't steal championships and games and records from you anymore, you're a little bit more tolerant. I am reminiscent of a letter, an open letter from a Boston Celtics fan that got published talking about Kobe Bryant. And it started off saying, Kobe Bryant, I hate you. But then went on to say about how Kobe Bryant's greatness and what he brought to the game, what great joy and drama that brought to the life of a Celtic fan who, you know, they met each other a couple of times in Kobe's career and went 1-1. But, you know, you got to be around long enough. Like Paul Pierce, he gained a lot more votes than even Larry Bird did. So a little bit surprised at that, but just some a little bit of St. Patrick's Day green fun for you this morning. All right, let's do this. We've got the professor standing by. He's, I believe, traveling on the road, possibly at the NASCAR event in Phoenix this weekend. We'll find out here coming up in just a second as we dial him up for the business of sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Daniels, and this is Speaking of Sports, where we like to kick the box score aside, take a deeper look at some of these stories and individuals that are making news in the sports world. And for some of that, we turn to Rick Horro, the professor. We talk about the business of sports and marketing issues and things like that. But really, the burning question that I want to ask you this week is, did Chris Darden and Marcia Clark really hook up? Did that really happen?
You know, I could make it up like everybody else in the media, and it sounds like an interesting story. And you can continue to perpetuate it and see where it goes. The problem is with the demographics that you hope to get on the show, other than the FX special, many people don't know who they are, other than the, you know, if you said Simpson, that's great. But we have it is amazing. What, 15 years now? Is that correct?
20.
20 years, even more.
Isn't it crazy?
By the way, By the way, I don't know if they pay enough. That's another story for another day. But people around the country should realize that you do this show at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in L.A., and it's 5:18.
Because I'm in Phoenix before the auto race here, and it's early. The people in Arizona do not change time as everybody else does. So,
hey Rick, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna dial you back because that's like an impossible conversation. So let's just hang up and redial Rick real quick and see if we can get you back on the line because that's not working. I don't know if where exactly you're staying out there for the NASCAR race this weekend. I think that's what I heard him say is that he's in Phoenix. But we're going to see if we can't reestablish that connection for us here in just a second. We'll redial that. But, a couple of things to talk about. You know, throwing a little bit of a curveball at Rick. I always like to do that just to mess with him and talk about this people versus O.J. Simpson thing, which is just absolutely it's gotten so crazy that I've been saying it's starting all over again. And one of the things that I mean is even Rolling Stone magazine they've started a fact check. So you can figure out just how many liberties they're taking with this story over there at FX as they go along with this miniseries. That and the latest one all week long has been about Marcia Clark and Chris Darden and whether they hooked up or not. All right, so we're going to see if we can't reestablish here with Rick Horro in just a second. But, yeah, they're already up to episode 6 in this People versus O.J. Simpson thing, and it looks like, I don't know. There's no end in sight. I don't know if there is a number of exactly how many of these things they're going to do. But I can tell you this, that I read earlier in the week that ESPN is planning to do their own 5-part series on O.J. Simpson. And that's coming up this summer. So the idea of this O.J. Simpson story not going away, it happened 20 years ago, as I was saying to Rick. It was 96, 94, 95, 96, I think is when all of that happened. And it was the trial of the century, and it's starting all over again. I just see the reports, and it's transcends way past sports. It's a story that seems to be gaining momentum once again all over the place. Like I said, Rolling Stone magazine has even decided that they're going to put a fact checker on there. All right, I believe we have the professor back again. Let's get to some of the business of sports here, Rick, this morning. One of the things on the Horro Sports Brief that I saw is that sport is attracting older demographics in the PGA. Ricky Fowler using a fashion statement of his own to tap into the millennial market. You know, I know that this guy's become a really popular golfer, and golf tends to be a little bit older sport. I mean, is it working on you? Have you got orange pants, or have you got one of those flat bill hats yet?
Yeah, but you remember, don't you, that I used to do that even before Ricky Fowler.
That's very true, yeah.
You know, the older demographic is really important, and I don't know why you would call me old, but I will settle with you when I see you.
Okay.
But the Puma pants, the shirts, the flat bill hats, all of that, really important for him. And everybody is saying that his newest apparel not only helps Cobra Puma's golf, but it helps the tour. Now, the only thing he's got to do is play well and win a major,
yeah.
For gosh sakes.
Yeah, that would help. Let's go to Peyton Manning quickly. Forbes says that he's about $27 million a year is what he's making in off-the-field kind of business. Obviously, there's no more on-the-field business for him. The question is he going to opt for going over to the sidelines and being involved at a coaching level, or is it the lure of the network television set? What do you think?
Well, here's what I think. I think he's got a lot of leverage, and I think he's going to dabble and then decide what he does and then hit it hard. You know, he's got the 21 franchise equity deal with Papa John's. He's also has options on the sideline as well, paying some big dollars to talk about the game. And also take a look at the Colts and the Titans and maybe the Saints. Here is a guy who has strong affiliations with any of them, and you can tell a really good story that he could emulate his now friend John Elway, go up to the front office, or maybe ownership.
Now, let's go to this one. Steph Curry, always fun to talk about him. New social media outlet Slice just got probably one of the biggest or most coveted endorsers there is in Steph. And he says that this is a way for him to, you know, get other things out there that he wants. Am I understanding Slice to be maybe an audio version of Twitter?
Yeah, well, what it is, it's basically giving people the ability to do what they want to and yet another platform. And obviously, he can talk about his business portfolio. He used it to talk about how wonderful LeBron James is as a business guy. But it is an audio version of Twitter, and it is now an endorsement deal because he's got Coach Up, Under Armour, and other companies in his diverse portfolio. So watch the company emerge in years ahead.
Now, David Beckham has been trying to get Major League Soccer in Miami for a long time, and apparently now he's run into a real speed bump, pun intended. A parking lot? Really? A parking structure is now what stands in the way of actually making this deal in Miami?
Well, listen, the first site that we looked at to build an arena way back when for the Miami Heat, before the franchise was even awarded, is right there. And one thing you do know is there's no parking around there. So everybody's talking about how important it is to funnel existing people into that stadium without having to build a new structure and use the light rail and such. But now you got to fit code, and you've got to find a way to deal with all of this. It's a major concern for the mayor of Miami, the mayor of Miami-Dade County. They always struggle. Don Garber had a press conference to create a team. He forgot to get a commitment for a stadium. Everybody loves the idea of soccer in Miami, but you need the stadium to go with it.
Let's talk about soccer for just a second, because we're talking about Miami and soccer. And the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, has reportedly held, quote-unquote, secret talks with English Premier League clubs Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Manchester City in an attempt to pitch them on his new business endeavor, which is the European Super League. This is fighting words, isn't it?
Fighting words, especially with the existing Champions League and the last breakaway in 1992, the EPL, that started a war. You know, Ross has been involved in the International Champions Cup in the U.S. and China. He's involved in Australia. He wants this Super League concept to be a big deal. He hasn't formally said, let's fight. Obviously, he feels like he wants to cooperate with the authorities. I know him very well. Do not underestimate Stephen Ross.
All right, now the outrage. I'm ready for the outrage. Concussion protocols have become much stricter across really all of contact sports, and you've got more and more retired players coming forward to complain about the handling of head injuries during their playing days. Well, here's where my beef comes in, because finally this has happened. Steve Ludzik and four of their former NHL players recently have decided that they're going to sue the league. Look, until these guys stop fighting, I don't even want to hear about concussions, okay? This is a league that allows fist fights to the point of knocking people's teeth out literally on live television, and they want to complain about concussions? Sorry, if I'm a judge, I'm throwing this one in the toilet.
Well, maybe, but it's the same issue for former players. They need a little bit of respect on how to deal with their medical issues. The NHL certainly providing that process, and you got to stay ahead of the science. The fact that the league has condoned some of that, really, when you think about it, the players have a right to deal with this issue, but you'll see how it shakes out long term.
Now, back to the Broncos, fresh off of their Super Bowl win. They've raised ticket prices for the fifth consecutive season, and they've come out with something that they're introducing a variable pricing strategy. And what that means is when the Patriots, Panthers, or Colts come to town, they get to raise the prices for what they're calling premium games. We're likely to see this in just about every other stadium for every sport going forward?
Well, you certainly do in baseball now. And there's a whole bunch of ticketing strategies to make sure that the games that are harder to get and more entertaining, you got to do that. But how about getting a quarterback first, and then let's worry about raising your prices.
Have fun today. Get me some canned exhaust. That's what I'd like from this stop on your tour, okay?
Can't wait for the race. Talk to you later.
See you later. Tomorrow. Rick Coro, the business of sports, always a treat. Coming up next, more treats for you, especially if you like quarterbacks and free agents. It's NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Good morning and welcome to Selection Sunday. Yeah, you know what that means. March Madness, just hours after that. I'm Jim Daniels. This is Speaking of Sports. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate that. This is where we like to move the box score aside and take a slightly different look at the sports world and the individuals in it. And in this moment, we're going to do a little NFL, because this is an interesting week in the NFL with all the free agent moves, and we're always interested in the signal callers. So for an expert, we're going to turn to featured columnist for Bleacher Report, editor for NFL Spin Zone, and NFL consultant, radio's favorite analyst, I'll call him, Russell Baxter. Thanks for joining us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Yes, I haven't been dealt. I haven't been waived. I haven't been asked to take a pay cut. And I remain a free agent.
And that's a good thing, too, because there's a lot of money out there on the table to be had if you are a free agent. Let's talk about some of the movement. Brock Osweiler decides to select the Houston Texans over the Broncos. Osweiler signs a 4-year, $72 million deal with the Texans. Start by the move by Brock. I mean, okay, he's getting paid and going to a hungry team with a good defense. When I first heard that, I thought, wait a minute, you're crazy. Then thought about it for 2 seconds. Like, ooh, maybe that's not such a bad idea after all.
Well, listen, I think what you got to keep in mind here is that the Denver Broncos knew they were going to lose players. They knew that Peyton Manning was likely going to retire. Right. And they made a really good offer, Jim, to Brock Osweiler. They offered him $16 million a year, not $16 an hour. So Houston came in and made a better offer. Plus, I think Brock Osweiler, and I haven't talked to him, and so I'm just kind of my own thoughts here. I get the feeling the idea of starting fresh and working with Bill O'Brien, who is obviously one of the better quarterback masters in this league. I don't think people give him enough credit for what he's done in 2 years in Houston. And listen, they haven't won the Super Bowl. I understand that. Right. But he's had six different quarterbacks in 32 games. They're 18-14, two winning seasons, one divisional championship. We have the Brian Hoyer game from the Kansas City Chiefs loss in the playoffs in our mind. But this will be the seventh different starting quarterback for Bill O'Brien. And I think he's done a yeoman's job working with these guys.
Russell Baxter is our guest as we talk about NFL free agency. It went absolutely crazy hog wild in the first day. Always there's lots of talk about quarterback. We talk about Brock Osweiler, the choice that he's making to go to the Texans. And then Sam Bradford gets a 2-year deal, $35 million. Doug Peterson decides, yeah, you know what, you're my guy, but let's double up at the quarterback position. And he brings in Chase Daniel. He comes to Philadelphia too. Pretty big contract for him. Now, according to USA Today, Daniel agrees to a 3-year deal worth $21 million to go with the $35 they're already giving Bradford. Wow. They say no quarterback controversy. Are we sure?
Well, I don't know if there's necessarily a controversy, but there's going to be a competition. I don't think there's any question about that. Chase Daniel comes over from the Kansas City Chiefs. Gee, what a coincidence. So did the head coach, Doug Peterson. So, I know it's the classic 6 degrees of the classic 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that we always see in NFL free agency. I'm going to be curious. To me, this whole quarterback thing with San Francisco and the New York Jets, it's all going to hinge on what Ryan Fitzpatrick opts to do. Now, obviously, he had a career year last year with the Jets, but they seem like they're far apart as far as negotiations. It's going to be like filling up the ice cube tray, Jim. Once you get that one block done under the sink, the other 11 blocks will fill themselves in, and I think it'll happen rather quickly. But we have to see what happens with Fitzpatrick.
Now, there's reports all over the place, more quarterback movement, that Colin Kaepernick is interested in wanting to go to the Cleveland Browns. Now, we know that the Browns have waived Johnny Manziel, but Colin Kaepernick says that he wants to go to Cleveland because he's a big fan of the new head coach, Hugh Jackson. Now, Mike Garofalo over at Fox first reported that the Browns, they're interested in Kaepernick. Do we see him in a Browns uniform if they can make out this deal for, I guess, it's a third-round draft pick?
Well, certainly possible, and you know, and it would be nice. It's kind of like a, you know, kind of like a silver anniversary type of thing. Because if Colin Kaepernick is the Browns' quarterback this year, he'll be their 25th different starting quarterback since 1999.
Wow.
Now, talk about a celebratory event. You know, I mean, hopefully they don't get the 50s anytime soon. Listen, he seems intrigued by playing for Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson, I think. And let's hope they keep him around for more than 2 years. Hugh Jackson had something coming into this season that's a little bit of an edge. I'm not saying over the Bengals and over the Steelers and over the Ravens, but at the very least, he has familiarity with the division. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you talking about a guy who worked for Marvin Lewis? You're talking about a guy who worked for John Harbaugh. He's been in and out of the AFC North. Now, unfortunately, Colin Kaepernick wants to come there, but they've already lost Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz and Travis Benjamin and Tashawn Gibson. That's four of their best players. So, you know, talking about going from one depleted roster to the next, that's pretty intriguing if you're Colin Kaepernick.
All right, let's go here. The LA Daily News reports that RG3 very much would like to play for the Los Angeles Rams. ESPN reports that RG3 is on the Broncos' list of replacement quarterbacks. Do you think that one of those two spots is a likely landing place for RG3?
Well, that's a tough call because the thing that Robert Griffin has to get through, and I'm not trying to be funny, Robert Griffin III has to get through, first of all, he has to get signed, second, he has to get through a preseason and be healthy. You know, as much as his play has fallen off, and again, we haven't seen him on the field, you know, since 2014, What's been the biggest issue, Jim? Even in his rookie year when he got hurt, it's keeping himself out of harm's way, learning how to slide, learning how to run out of bounds. He's obviously got a lot of talent, but he is not adapted to the pro game, not fully. And when you can't protect yourself and you have people as fast as you are sometimes chasing you down, okay, or you're trying to run out of bounds and you get hurt, that's the biggest issue with Robert Griffin III. So the talent is there. He needs to be retaught a few things.
Yeah. Non-contact injuries are not a good thing, not when you deal with all the contact that they have to. Can't hurt yourself on your own. Always good to catch up with you and do a little quarterback chat. Russell Baxter from Bleach Report. Thanks, as always.
You got it, sir.
We have a number of things going on today that we're following, but one of the biggest ones is Selection Sunday. And because Selection Sunday is the doorway that we open every year that leads us to March Madness, that brings us to Professor Bergen. And we had Professor Bergen on last week from DePaul University with just some fun stuff for you. I'm not going to play the whole interview. I just want to get into the five things that are more likely to happen than you making a perfect bracket. Professor Bergen, what's first?
The first is that Steph Curry is more likely to hit 414 foul shots in a row in game conditions. And to put that in perspective, the present professional record is 97.
Going, I know what all the records are. You give me that, I'll give the records. Yeah, 97 in a row is the record. Steph Curry hitting 400 free throws in a row. All right, what else have you got? What's number two on your list?
Tom Brady completing 96 passes in a row.
Now, we all know that the NFL record is 25, so it'd be a long way from that, too. Let's go back in the past now.
A couple from baseball. Babe Ruth is synonymous with home runs. It's more likely that he would have hit home runs in 17 consecutive at-bats.
And we all know that the home run record is only four consecutive at-bats for a home run. How about if we go to the other end of baseball? How about out on the mound?
Well, Nolan Ryan, and again, he is the king of strikeouts. It would have been easier for him to strike out 31 batters in a row.
And of course, the MLB record only 10. And then finally, since this got to get a little bit of football in here. Any of your favorite football teams, right?
Right. If you have a favorite football team, they are more likely to win the next 13 Super Bowls
in a row.
In a row, yes.
There you go, Professor Bergen from DePaul University, who says that his popularity soars every year in the early part of March. Huh, wonder why that is. He's a math professor. That's why he's calculating the wins for you and the possibilities. All right, coming up next, the possibility of us doing a little bit of a exploration into MLB. We'll do that with Pete Fox next on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Thanks for making us part of your day. Appreciate that. Not just Sunday, Selection Sunday. You know what that means. Actually, we'll discuss what that means here for just a second before we get into the meat of the final segment here of Speaking of Sports. I'm Jim Daniels, and this is Pete Fox in the Update Studio. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, before I get into the Bryce Harper thing, because I want to talk to you about that, I want to talk about what Selection Sunday really means. And what it really means is this is the day that you have to map out which day you're calling in sick for work, right? Isn't it? For
not
March
in
Madness?
Our business, Jim. Come on. In our business, we get paid to pay attention to that stuff.
No. We get paid. I'm talking about everybody else. I mean, this is the most unproductive work week in American society, I believe, where they
it's really
talk
just
about
the 2 days,
the lost hours and the lost dollars. So that's what I'm saying Selection Sunday is all about, selecting which one of the days this week that you're going to maybe give into that sniffle.
Yeah, is it Thursday or Friday? Right.
Which one is
it? Good point.
I love March Madness, and one of the things I think that we love about it is it is untraditional. It's daytime. It's weekday instead of usually prime time and the weekend. And I think that one of the intriguing or appealing factors is the fact that it's sports out of the norm, right?
Yeah, and everyone gets involved, even if you're not a major sports fan, you know.
No, the office pool thing, you know.
Right.
I mean, everybody fills
paying
one
attention.
Out.
Right, yeah.
Let's talk about baseball for just a second. Bryce Harper, the National League Most Valuable Player, is loose in the world saying, quote, baseball is tired. It's a tired sport because you can't express yourself. One of the things, I'm not going to read all of his quotes here. I just want to get one little bit of it in here. He says, quote, you want kids to play the game, right? What are kids playing these days? Football, basketball. Look at those players, Steph Curry, LeBron James. It's exciting to see those players in those sports. Cam Newton, I love the way Cam goes about his business. He smiles, he laughs. It's about that flair. It's about the dramatic. Close quote. What do you think about the MVP blaspheming his own sport, first of all?
Well, I think he's partially right. This comes back to the Goose Gossage comments, I am assuming. That's kind of what spawned all of this.
Sure.
But I really have been, I feel like people are in need of coming down on one side or the other. Like, I'm old school or I'm new school. And I've kind of been in the middle of this. I mean, to a certain extent, Goose Gossage, albeit, he had some inflammatory comments about Joey Bats, which weren't fair. And Joey Bats, by the way, handled it perfectly. But, he's not 100% wrong. At the same time, I would side with Bryce Harper's theory and the theory of the younger guys that this is what's exciting and this is what will draw younger fans to the game if they're able to show a little bit of expression, have a little fun, not make it so uptight.
That's where I want to go, though.
And maybe speed up the game a little bit.
What exactly does he mean by be able to express yourself more? The Joey Bats thing, I mean, look, you have to know what the drama that entire game was to understand what that bat flip meant. It meant more. It was more than just a guy going yard and flipping the bat. That was a great big exclamation point is what that was. But, I mean, what exactly does Bryce Harper want to be able to do? I mean, because this is, like you say, a sport of old get-off-my-lawn guys that don't even want you looking at the pitcher after you hit home run, or if you trot around those bases, take too much time, you're going to be looking at the scared of the catcher in the face when you get there who's up in your grill. I mean, what does he mean? Does he mean less of the unwritten rules and more of the, in your face as I'm trotting around the bases, I'm yelling at the pitcher going, ha ha!
I think it's somewhere in the middle of that. I mean, showing up a pitcher, I don't believe bat flipping is showing up the pitcher.
I don't think that's
showing expression.
Yeah.
So running around the bases and saying things to the pitcher, that's showing up the pitcher. So it's a real fine line as to what is considered old school showing up the other team and what is considered expression.
What else could be okay, though? I mean, I don't even know what to point to as to what I could do as a baseball player to show more emotion. I played the game for a long time. I understand baseball at a very high level. And I don't understand, or I don't know what it is that I could even, I don't even know what to ask for. What can I do to show more expression? I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, it could be something as simple as, pumping your fist as you knock in a run when running to first base. Like, some old school guy might think that is over the top.
Yep.
Or maybe celebrating a stolen base with a fist pump or something that you've come up with. What do the Angels do? They do the bow and arrow, or they do some little thing. Yeah. They do some celebration when they steal a base or get an RBI double or something to that effect. So I just think it has to do a little bit with that. Just a celebration. Hey, we're a team. We all like each other. And this is how we show that.
Bryce Harper singled out Jose Fernandez. He says he's a great example. He'll strike you out and then stare you down and pump his fist a little bit. Right. I don't see anything wrong with that. If I'm a pitcher and I'm a flamethrower like that guy is, and I strike out, you know, a big designated hitter in a moment like that, I want to be able to pump my fist and go, yeah. I don't want people throwing at me the next time I'm at the plate because I got pumped about doing my job.
Right, and Harper handled that exactly the right way. He says if he gets me, then I kind of basically tip my cap and say he got me. Next time, hopefully, I'll get him. And that creates the, you know, the intensity and the rivalry, and maybe that's the expression that he's talking about. But, you know, some of these old guys would say that, the pumping. And it's funny coming from Goose Gossage.
I know.
Didn't he do a lot of that? I mean, wasn't he pumping his fist all the time?
And talking about guy staring people down. Right. Oh, my God, that guy.
Yeah, so I think it has all to right. do with just, you know, celebrating your small victory, even though it may not be a game, a win. It's a win within the game.
All right, Selection Sunday, less than a minute to go. Is this the year? Because there's so much talk about the fact that this is the unpredictable year, that the number ones are not all that solid. Is this the year? Could we see a 16-1?
No, I think it goes the other way because I feel like the mediocrity at the top is still pretty good, and I don't think we see that. I don't even think we see a 15 this year.
So the upsets will be in the second round is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always a treat, man. Always a treat. Thanks very Tim. Much, Pete Fox. Awesome stuff. All right, that's going to do it for Speaking of Sports. Thanks for being with us. Coop is next on many of these NBC sports radio stations. Have a great one.